Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
I love Psalm 47. It says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Can we just clap for Jesus one more time? Come on, he deserves all the glory and all the praise. What a privilege to be able to open up the Bible, to open up the word of our King, right? We sang earlier, the King is alive. I'm sorry, I'm fired up to be able to be with you this morning, okay? Is anybody else excited? All right, a couple of you guys. I love the word of God so much. I'm going to ask you to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. And if you don't mind, I know you've been sitting for a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the word of God. Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 19. And we're standing, and I love the Bible so much. You guys love the Bible? All right. All scripture is inspired by God, right? The word of God is alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we get to read the words of our King. I love it. I love it. Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm reading on my Kindle here. All right. Anybody got their phone app or their Kindle? Anybody out here? All right. You got the warm glow of God's word on your face. I love that. That's great. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. We have the prophet Jeremiah, who's going through unbelievable struggles and pain. And I like to imagine that maybe he's going through some relationship struggles or some financial problems. Or maybe he received a medical diagnosis that was not good. And just, I want us to see the pain that he's going through. Lamentations 3, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them, and I have become depressed. Has anybody gone through some struggles recently? Through some dark days? Our God knows, and our God cares. Look at verse 21. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. See, the first word in Lamentations is helpless, but the final word is hopeful. Look at verse 22. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. Anybody thankful for the mercies of God that they never, ever end? I love it. You all can clap. You can say amen. It's all right. Somebody told me that Methodists nod their head, but Baptists say amen. All right? Y'all got to help me preach this morning, okay? Verse 24. Or verse 23, his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, I say the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. And I want to walk through these verses together. I believe that God has given me a powerful word for you. And I'm here to deliver it. And I'm so excited. But it is up to us to be open to the word of God. Can we be open this morning? Can we receive what God has for us today? Can we do that? All right. Hey, I'm going to ask you to do something different. I want you to hug three people, okay, and say, God is good today. All right. Hug three people, say, God is good, and then you can be seated. All right. And then you can be seated after you've hugged three people. And you've declared that God is good. Well, welcome to church today. My name is Rodney. I'm one of the teaching pastors at our Liberate campus. And if you heard last week, I'm what Pastor Henry said, I'm the missions pastor, the pastor for Multisite. And I'm just excited to get to work. There's people who need to hear about Jesus. And there's people who need healing and hope and love and grace. And so I'm just fired up. I'm excited to be with you here today. Can we be excited in church? I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, okay? The Bible tells me that you know, pain will be here for a season, but joy comes in the morning, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I'm just glad to be here with you guys today. I was reading in Proverbs earlier this week, and it says this, that anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And I'm hoping to bring a good word here today. There's a lot of things that bring me joy. I want you to think, what are some things that bring you joy? One of the first things that comes to mind, other than Jesus himself, is my wife, Carolyn. Absolutely love Carolyn. She's my best friend. She's my number one supporter. And actually, recently, her and I bought our first home together, all right? And so we're pretty excited about that. And my wife actually, this is another thing that brings me joy, is that she put up a hammock in the backyard, okay? And this is the first time I've ever sat in a hammock, and it changed my life, okay? And so I'm reading my Kindle, and I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading God's Word, I'm in my hammock in my new home, and that just brings me a lot of joy. One of my favorite places that brings me joy is a place called Zion, Utah. And I don't know if you've driven up there, I don't know if you've gone hiking or camping up there, but there's something strangely therapeutic about being in the mountains and just observing the goodness of God. And any hikers or any campers here, all right, we every year at Liberate, we take a camping trip up to Zion, and it's amazing, it's beautiful. Like, I think Zion is so amazing that when Jesus comes back for us, anybody excited for Jesus to come back, all right? But when Jesus comes back, I think he's going to take a detour. I think he's going to go to Zion and camp and hike. He might hit up Angel's Landing for a little bit, and then he's going to come back for us, okay? And I'm being a little bit silly about that. But I love some things. I love some places. But one of the things I love more than anything in all of the world is when I get to gather in the presence of our glorious God. And that brings me absolute joy. Some of you guys are like, why is this guy yelling? I'm just excited to be in the presence of God. There are so many reasons that our God is good. He's a good father, and he watches over us, and he protects us. He's a good friend. The Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. He was such a good friend that people called our Jesus the friend of sinners, and they thought that was a dig at him. But our God is so good. But when I think of the goodness of God, I think of how he is our Savior. That he lived the perfect life we could never live. That he died a substitutionary death on the cross for us. But listen, we know the end of the story, right? He did not stay dead. Spoiler alert, I know Easter is coming next Sunday, but we know that Jesus rose again. And he rose again for you. And when Jesus, when his buried body, when it began to breathe, we know that he conquered all the powers of sin, all the powers of hell, and all the powers of the grave. And our God is good. And I believe that this morning, God sent me here today to bring you this message of joy. To say that we can have joy and that we can know the goodness of God. Maybe you've heard it like this. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Would you say that with me? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Come on, we got to say it like we mean it. We got to say it like we know God's going to bring us a Vegas Golden Knights victory tonight, okay? Come on, say it with me. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So I want to give you three ideas today on the goodness of God that we see here in Lamentations 3. If you have a worship guide or your notes section, I want you to just write these three things down. I think it'll be helpful for you. I think it'll encourage you. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God does. And so let's go to him and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there is power in the word of God. We thank you that you love us so much that you have left us your word. God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear what you would have for us. Remind us that you are good. We love you, God. We love you so much. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the people here. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Write down number one. It's really simple. Number one, the mercy of God. God is good because of his mercy. Look in your text. Look at Lamentations 3, verse 22. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. Maybe your translation says his compassions never end. Verse 23, matter of fact, his mercy is new every morning. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, his mercy will go on. Some of you today may never forget the darkness of your past or the brokenness of your history. Maybe you'll never forget the absolute heartache that may or may not be your own fault, or perhaps your difficult past is the result of someone else who took advantage of you. And it is hard for us to forget what it's like to be hurt. It's hard for us to forget the pain or the fact that we have hit rock bottom in our past. And if we're open and honest today, many of us here are hurting, and we identify with the prophet Jeremiah. We identify with the writer of this text, and we say, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm anxious, and I'm depressed. But God has a better word for you today. I love how the writer of Hebrews encourages us. Did you guys come to be encouraged today? Look at what Hebrews 4:16 says. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank God that while the pain of our mess is strong, the power of God's mercy is stronger. Your past is what you did, but your future is who God says you are. And some of us need to quit listening to what that devil tells us and what he says about us. And we need to start listening to what God declares over us. And look, this is not just a motivational talk. This is the truth of the Bible. This is the truth of the goodness of our God, that you are loved, that you are accepted, that you are forgiven, that you are healed. Can we just praise God today that his mercy endures forever? Man, I love that. I get fired up when I think of God's mercy. Here's what mercy actually is. Mercy is compassion or grace. I want you to write that down. Mercy is compassion or grace shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. One of the best life experiences of mercy for myself was when I was maybe 5 or 6. And I remember goofing off, because I goof off all the time. I still do to this day, all right? I get in trouble all the time with my wife, all right? But when I was 5 or 6, I just remember goofing off in the store. And I remember my dad just looking over at me. My dad's really calm and even keeled. And he just says, when we get home, you're getting a whooping. I remember it like it was yesterday. And the next 3 hours were the worst of my life, okay? And I remember just getting home and just kind of, I'm just worried to death. I'm getting a whooping. I know it. It's going to be bad because that's all he said was that one line. When we get home, you're getting a whooping. And some time goes by and nothing happens. And so I'm just like, I can't take it anymore. So I finally walk into my dad's room and I'm like, Dad, aren't you going to give me a whooping? I was terrible. I was bad. I can't take it anymore. I'm ready. Come on. And now looking back, I know that he forgot, okay? But at the time, he was like, you know what? I think you've learned your lesson. I think you've learned your lesson, and just don't do it again. But I remember that more than any other punishment from my father, that he showed me mercy. I want to dive deeper into this topic of mercy. Can we just nerd out for a second on the mercy of God? It's going to be fun, all right? So mercy, check this out. It comes from 2 original Hebrew words that mean compassion and grace, all right? So for those of you who like theology, it comes from compassion and grace. And when we see the word mercy in the Old Testament, we should think compassion and grace. Let's go to one of the very first foundational texts. Exodus 34, verse 6. God is talking to Moses, and God says, this is my name, the Lord, or Yahweh, the Lord, and I am merciful, or I am compassionate and gracious. And so the word for compassion, I want you to write this down, okay? It is rahum, and it means compassionate And it's usually translated as mercy in English. And it actually comes, this word rahum or compassion or mercy comes from this idea. Originally, the root word is of a female womb. And so really, when we hear the mercy of God or the compassion of God, we should think of the intense motherly love that a mother has for her child. Doesn't that do something special for you, knowing that our God is a God of mercy? In the Old Testament, we have the story of two roommates, two mothers who each have a child, a newborn. And one of the newborns tragically dies during the night. And you guys have heard this story? And what happens is the mother of the newborn who died goes and steals the other newborn from the other mom. And so they bring this fight before the court. And Solomon, the wisest king of all, he says this: we're going to cut this baby in half since you guys are fighting. And this is kind of violent, right? This is the Old Testament. But we're going to cut this baby in half, and we'll give half to you, half to you, since you guys can't figure this out. And the Bible tells us that the mother of the true mother of the child was moved with mercy, with compassion. We have this word, rahum. All right, so one more word. That's compassion, but I want you to get this one too, hanun. You guys say that with me, hanun. All right, come on, try it. You guys are great at Hebrew. Hanun. And hanun means to show grace or to show favor. And so here's what I'm getting at. If compassion is a feeling, then grace is an action. Then hanun means to show favor to someone who is in need. And in a room this size, I know that there are people in need of the grace of God. If I were to ask you, do you need grace today? Would you raise your hand? Man, I'd be raising both hands. I need God's grace. I need him to show me favor. I need him to show me grace. Grace is when you fight for justice for the poor. When you give a coat to someone who is in need when it's cold outside. Grace is God continually saving his people all throughout history and all throughout the scriptures. And each day, I love this about Lamentations, each day is a new opportunity to experience the grace of God. One of my favorite places in all of Scripture where God is moved with compassion to show grace, this idea of mercy, is when Jesus is preaching to thousands of people. I imagine it like Jesus is preaching at the T-Mobile Arena, okay? And he's looking around and he's preaching and he sits down and they want more preaching because they can't get enough of Jesus. And he notices, he stops. You guys know this story. He stops and he notices that everybody's hungry. All right. Now, all of you guys are hungry now that I just mentioned, right? Hunger. And they're freaking out because there's no concessions, right? There's nothing like that. And Jesus is like, well, we got to feed these people, so let's figure it out. And Jesus takes the Lunchable of one boy, right? He takes this Hebrew Happy Meal, okay? And he feeds thousands of people because the scripture says he is moved with compassion to show grace. That's the mercy of our God. What we need in this church and what we need in Las Vegas is less judging and more Jesus. Less complaining and more compassion. Less guilt tripping and more grace. But because there's not enough mercy, because we do not show mercy to those around us, our communities are divided, the weak are oppressed. And the reality is that there's a generation that's dying and going to hell because we do not show mercy. And so I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just trying to get you to fall in love with the mercy of God, and that will change how you act. I want you to think of in your life this week, who can you show mercy to? Is there a neighbor? Is there a coworker? Is there a boss? Is there an employee? Is there a teacher? Is there a student that you can show mercy to this week? Because that is the goodness of our God. I love the mercy of God. Let's move on. Number two, I want you to see the faithfulness of God. God is good because he is faithful and he's loving. And this verse points us to the faithfulness of God and the love of God. Because God's love is faithful and his faithfulness is loving. You got it? Isn't that, it's great. Look at it, verse 22. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at the scripture. Verse 22, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. Your mercy, your compassion and grace, it is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And here is faithfulness. I want you to write this down. I don't have this for you on the screen, but God's love for you, this is faithfulness. God's love for you remains intact no matter what happens. God's love for you remains intact no matter what happens. And when I think of the faithfulness of our God, the faithful love, I think, are you serious? Can it be? Is this for real? That God's love for me remains intact no matter what. And somebody here today needs to be reminded of the long-standing, never-ending, loyal love that God has for you. Our God is good, isn't he? He's so good. God always keeps his promises. Always. When I think of the idea of faithfulness, I think of the Karate Kid, okay? And here's what I mean. You guys remember that, right? Mr. Miyagi telling Daniel's son to wax on, wax off, right? And he just continues to paint the fence over and over and over. And he works and works and works. And in the end, he's rewarded, right? And the idea of God's faithfulness to us is that every single day, he is working to show you that he loves you, to show you that he is faithful to you. That is the faithfulness of our God. There was a 19th century evangelist, and maybe you've heard of him. His name is D.L. Moody. He's the founder of the Sunday school movement. And really, hundreds, thousands of people came to know Christ because of D.L. Moody. And he's one of my heroes. I can't wait to talk to him when I get to heaven. I can't wait to ask him, what was it like just to surrender to God every day? But anyways, D.L. Moody, gotten a rabbit trail about D.L. Moody, but here's what he said about the faithfulness of God and the promises of God. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. What are some promises that God has made to you in the past? Have you forgotten them? Have you moved on past the promises of God? Don't move on past them. Move deeper into the promise of God. Deeper into the faithfulness of God, the faithful love of our God. And here's what I love about God. He doesn't just promise to save us. He is our salvation. He doesn't just promise to rescue us. He is our Redeemer. And we can get excited about the promises of God. That God is faithful to us in our jobs. That God is faithful to provide. He is faithful in our schools. He is faithful to us. But sometimes we can't see it. The faithfulness of God, here's what we have to do with it. The faithfulness of God causes us to be faithful where we're at. When we fall in love with his faithfulness, we'll have no choice but to be faithful. And sometimes we are a faithless people, aren't we? We lack faith. We think, can God really do this? Should I just give up now? Will I really be able to make it through the pain? Or maybe we look around our world and we say, can we really experience revival? And when we see the faithfulness of our God, we know that the answer is a resounding yes, that God is faithful. Sometimes we take our eyes off of the faithfulness of God and we put it on the circumstances around us, don't we? And we tend to complain, or we tend to sit and sour rather than serve. And what I want us to do is to become faithful people. That's what God has for us. I'm going to quote one of our pastors at one of our campuses. He said this last week. He said that the gospel makes selfish people selfless people. I love that. The gospel makes selfish people selfless people. And so where are you faithless today? Where are you focusing on yourself? Where can you turn your attention to the faithfulness of our God? God is good, isn't he? We see the mercy of God here in the text. We see the faithfulness of God. And then number three, and I'll be done, we see the presence of God. Aren't you glad that we are in the presence of the King of Kings today and the Lord of Lords? Come on, we don't just gather together just to sing to ourselves. No, we sing to the King. We sing that the King is alive, and I can't help but raise my hands and get excited when I know that Jesus is in our presence. Where two or three are gathered, there is God right here in the midst. One of my favorite things about God is that He is with us now. That we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience a relationship with God. Look at verse 24. I love how one translation puts it. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. And I love this about God, that He doesn't just give us an answer to our problem. He comes and sits with us in the problem. He comes and encourages us in the pain. And today, God doesn't just want to give you peace. He is your peace. He is your Jehovah Shalom. My God is peace. And so today, again, I don't know what you're going through, but maybe today you feel lonely. Let me just tell you that you're not alone. Maybe today you feel abandoned by everybody else. Can I just encourage you with this, that Jesus has not abandoned you? Hebrews chapter 13 says it like this: I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Some of you need to write that promise down on a post-it or set a reminder for yourself that He will never leave me, and He will never forsake me. His presence fills any place where His people worship Him. And today we have worshiped our God. I just want to tell you, I just want to talk to you directly that God's presence is greater than any pain you're going through. Can I tell you that? God's presence is greater than any pain you're going through. On January 26th of this year, my wife and I, we went to Bible study. I believe it was a Tuesday night. We went to Bible study, and later that night, my wife woke up in excruciating pain. And just thinking back, I know that we had, really, it's been a rough 2 years for us. I just want to be real and transparent. Can we be real in church today? My wife and I have gone through 6 miscarriages in the last 2 years. Talk about pain. And so we found out that Tuesday night that my wife was, we knew that she was pregnant, and she had woken up in excruciating pain, and we thought that this was another miscarriage. And so we went, really, after just trying to take ibuprofen and different things like that, we ended up going to the ER and spending the entire night in the hospital, and ultrasound and CAT scan and urinalysis and all of this. And basically they had to take us to another hospital. And the next morning at about 10 or 11 o'clock, the doctor comes in and says, hey, we're going to have surgery because you had an ectopic pregnancy. And I don't know anything about this. And so I'm just like, well, what does that mean? And he's like, well, basically your wife is bleeding, and if she doesn't have surgery in the next hour, you know, she could die. And I'm like, well, I guess we're having surgery. All right, I guess we're doing it right now. And I just remember thinking and just praying and not doubting the goodness of God, but not feeling the goodness of God. You know what I mean? And my wife and I had been listening to this song recently. And really, a week before that Tuesday, we were listening to the song, Raise a Hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies. And so during this time, we go in, and my wife is getting ready for the operating room, and she spikes a 105 fever, and the nurses are freaking out, and so I'm freaking out, okay? And I'm normally pretty even-keeled, but after the nurses get her calmed down, they clear out, and they're like, okay, real quick, we're going to have a surgery here in a little bit. We'll come back to get her. And so I'm praying, and I'm closing my eyes, and I'm just begging God just to work in her life. God, we don't know. We don't know what you have for us, but we know that you're good. And so after a little bit of silence, my wife opens up her phone. I didn't know that she was doing this, but she begins to play the song, Raise a Hallelujah. And at that moment, I was reminded of the faithfulness of our God. and the goodness of our God, that even when the enemy attacks, we're protected, aren't we? He can't kill us. The enemy comes to kill, hurt, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life. And so I just want to encourage you today that God is your portion, that I know that God is my portion, that he is my inheritance. And so when I sing that song, it's extra special to me that I can raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah means God be praised. God be praised. And I came here today to tell you that there is joy out there, and it's found in Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus today? Our God is good, isn't he? All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus. Maybe today you just needed to be reminded of the presence of God and how powerful it is and how comforting it is. Because death cannot kill us if we are in Christ, right? We will be with him forever. Sometimes we don't feel the faithfulness of God. He's still faithful. Sometimes we don't feel the presence of God. He's still here. Let me just encourage you with this verse. Psalm 46. Be still and know. Not feel, right? Because feelings come and feelings go. But be still and know that I am God. Even when we don't feel it, he's faithful. Even when we don't feel it, he's good. I said earlier that the first word in Lamentations is helpless, hopeless. But the final word that God gives us is hopeful. I heard a pastor say it like this, and I'm done. I'm a preacher, right? So preachers close like 25 times, okay? So let me close with this. You have to step out of your past so that you can step into God's promise. Step out of your past and step into the promises of God. Let me ask you today, is the pain drowning out God's presence? Be reminded, be still and know that our God is good. Maybe the good old days are keeping you from seeing the goodness now. Maybe the good old days are keeping you from seeing the future that we have. We have a promising future, right? Because we have a promising God. And I can't wait till one day when Jesus comes back. So many people at Shadow Hill, so many people in Las Vegas, so many people in this world will be worshiping our Jesus because he will overcome the evil one. And I know it, and I'm confident of that because he promises to do that. And then for those of you who have messed up in your past, your story matters to God because it's not a story of your sinning, it's a story of God's salvation. And God wants to save someone here today. I believe that someone here today does not know Jesus. And today, here in a minute, we're gonna respond. We're gonna have some music, and we'll have people up front, and they can lead you to Jesus. Maybe today you're going through a painful season, a struggle. You need outside help. You need somebody to pray with you. I want you to come forward if that's you. Failure is not final, but God's faithfulness is. I'm going to ask you guys to stand, and we're going to respond. You guys stand with me. I don't think that God is as concerned with your past as you are. Because 2,000 years ago, we know that our Jesus rode into town on a donkey, right? On this Sunday, 2,000 years ago, Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into town. He should have rode into town on a war horse because he's the king, right? But he didn't. He rode in on a donkey, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And I get emotional thinking about what Christ did for us on the cross. But I get even more emotional thinking that 3 days later, he rose again for us. Can we just clap and praise God today that our God is alive? Come on, we're going to sing now. We're going to sing hallelujah. God be praised. Christ is risen from the dead. Come on, let's sing it. Come on.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with his best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.